I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and find the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. Inside the bulletin, I put the outline for the message today, and it is there, and you can feel free to take a pen and write down the main points. I think would be a blessing to you. I will admit to you that the message today did not totally originate with me. Parts of it did, but I was given this message a long time ago as a young preacher boy by a man that you guys might remember, and his name just left me. Willard, what was that guy's name? Homer Lindsay. Yeah, Homer Lindsay, a pastor down in Miami. Did anybody know him when he pastored down? Yeah. He went to First Baptist Jacksonville, and that church ran about 10,000 members up there. He's been with the Lord a few years ago, but he gave us preacher boys a book. And he said in that title, that book was the kind of man every home needs. And stuck with me, and I kept it, and I was praying and asking God, what would you want me to preach on for Father's Day? And boy, he took me right to that little booklet buried on my shelf, and I began to study that and pray about that. And God led me to these thoughts and then led me to the book of Joshua. And I think it's fitting to preach a message to fathers or to men today from Joshua. Joshua is a mighty man of God. Joshua was a man that experienced tremendous victory in his life. And I think one of the reasons that our churches are suffering so bad today, and our homes are suffering so bad, and our marriages are suffering, and our relation to our children is, and we've lost our fire, is because we're not enjoying the victory that Christ is to us anymore. You know, losing streaks eventually take their toll. You can almost develop a mindset where you don't even think you can win. Now, hopefully, prayerfully, the Miami Heat do not have that mindset tonight. I'm worried about them tonight, but I believe we're going to pull it through. But I think in Christianity today, and especially in our men, I'm wondering if we have kind of given up on the idea of victory, a victorious Christian walk, a victorious Christian marriage, a victorious Christian home. Let me explain something to you. As long as you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our victory. Amen. And we can know that great victory. And I think we live in a day today when we need men to begin to lead the charge, especially in churches. There is a battle over the definition of manhood today. Hollywood is fighting ferociously, and they are investing a lot of money to try to redefine what a man is, who a man is. If you were to look at most of the primetime television out there today, they have redefined a masculine man, and now the definition of man is more of an effeminate man or a sensitive man. If they're going to use a masculine man, they will use him as a joke, or they will use him as a contrast. But the definition of a Hollywood man is he's effeminate, he's rich, he's immoral, he's not a leader, he's more of an easy kind of approach to life. He's disconnected. He has no authority in the home. And normally, the relationship with his wife is so flipped up on upside down that you can't even recognize it. I've noticed that a lot of the dramas that are on television are portraying lives that are so dysfunctional. You take some of these police dramas that are on television, and the person is a police officer, but their home life is completely wrecked. They're having problems in their marriage, they're having problems with their children, they're having problems with themselves, they're having problems here. And or if you do go to some drama, one of the hospital dramas, and the doctor's got his practice, but he's got all these other things, and it seems like everybody is just completely a mess. And they build that so at the end of the program, when he goes down to snort his cocaine or shoots his drug or smokes or sits at the bar and drinks or goes home with somebody else's wife or she goes home with somebody else's husband, you can almost say, well, man, their life is a mess. They almost need to do that. And so Hollywood is reshaping. They're effeminizing what manhood is. And then they're presenting that there's no hope in life, so smoke or drown your sorrows. Well, let me tell you something. As long as we have Jesus, we have hope. Amen. He is our hope. There's not a problem or a solution that Jesus is not the answer to. And yes, we have problems. And yes, we have struggles. But we also know victory. Faith is the victory. And let me tell you, there is a manhood that ought to be about a man. And where do you find manhood? You find it in the Word of God. Hollywood has no idea what a man is. But the Word of God has an idea what the man is. And so I want to preach to the men today. I want to preach to you, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. The kind of man that every home needs. And it's fitting from Joshua because this is a book of victory. And that we can know victory in our lives. You pick up in verses 14 to 16, and Joshua is giving the last charge of his life. When you get to verse number 29, Joshua is dead. He has let everybody go to their inheritance. He has fought his last battle. There's so-called peace in the land, although they didn't accomplish all that God had for them to accomplish. But in verses 14 to 16, Joshua is presenting to the people a pathway to victory. He's presenting to them the final charge, his deathbed words. And these words are at the context of what has happened in the previous 12. If you look at verse 13 or 14, it says, now therefore. Whenever you read in the Bible the word therefore, stop yourself and go back and make sure you understand the context of what is going on. When you come to Joshua chapter 24, verse number 1, if you look at chapter 24, verse number 2, it says, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. If you look at verse number 3, There's a reminiscing of the history of what God has done. And it's defined by the word I. Look at verse number 3. I took your father Abraham. Verse 4. I gave unto Isaac. I gave unto Esau. Verse 5. I sent Moses. I plagued Egypt. I did among them. I brought you out. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Verse 7, I have done in Egypt. Verse 8, I brought you. I gave them. I destroyed them. Verse 10, I would not hearken unto them. I delivered you. Verse 12, I sent the hornet. Man, I think I'd rather be shot than stung to death by hornets. But God sent the hornets and it drave out them from before you. Verse 13, I have given you a land. So in verses 3 all the way to 13, this is the history of what God had done for them. Then Joshua in verse number 14 says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, finish that verse with me out loud, please. We will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And so Joshua is here and he is presenting a way of victory to the leadership of Israel. And he's really sharing it, and he's really testifying to them the obedience and continued obedience in the Lord. And it's fitting because Joshua was a man that every home needs. And so I've got 9 points today. I'm only going to get 4 or 5 of them this morning. I'll finish the rest of them tonight. Tonight's points are deeper, more practical, and they're going to help you in the area of communicating with your wife and your children. They're going to help you in your discipline tonight. Not your wife, but your children. Anyway, and they're going to help you in teaching you how to care about your home. And so I would have you come back tonight for sure. Verse 14 of chapter 24, you see three things. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve the Lord. And then if you come down to verse 15, there's the word choose. The first thing that every home needs a man of godly character. Every home needs a man with godly character. And by the way, there's no godly character unless you have Jesus Christ. And there are good dads and good homes and I guess good husbands that are not saved. But the greatest way and the most complete victory and the wonderful way is for you and I to know the Lord. Joshua was a man of godly character. It begins with salvation. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. That's being saved. That's humbling himself. That was a position of faith. That was trusting Christ. I pray that every man in this room is a born again Christian. I know the world makes fun of the words born again. They hate the word born again. I know born again is considered to be not fantastic, but a fanatic. And I know pretty soon it will be a word that they will use to describe us as a movement of hatred. Pretty soon it will be a war on the born again, right wing, fundamental, so on and so forth. It's lining up. They're going to target us that way. I know it is. They're going to try to distance us. They're going to estrange us. They're going to say that we're the born again people. That way we're not like the rest of the world. And therefore, since we're not like the rest of the world, we cannot be tolerated by the rest of the world. And therefore, we must be punished. I understand all that. But the Bible says we are to be born again. And I would rather spend my life trusting Jesus Christ in his word than I would be being afraid of the vicious teeth of the enemy. And so I pray that every man in this room knows the Lord. Choose in verse number 15 talks about being sanctified and set apart. The part of being a godly man is that I'm set apart unto the Lord. That I have, as I'm set apart unto him, I develop his character. It's the life of Christ in me. Pastor, I got saved, but I still struggle with this or that. I understand we may struggle with things, but Jesus is the victor in our lives. He gives us an ability to overcome those things. And as I walk with him and as I read the word of God, as the Spirit of God works in me, the life of Christ begins to develop in me. And my whole personality changes. And my whole likes and dislikes change. And I become set apart unto him. And then you see the word serve, that's part of the character, that I serve the Lord. Oh, how we need godly character in our homes today. Somebody has defined character as what you are when no one else is around. Boy, that's a powerful thought. Men, it is important who you are when nobody else is around. And who you are when nobody else is around will manifest itself eventually publicly. Ladies, have you found that men are wonderful promise makers and horrible promise keepers? Let's take just a moment and preach to the ladies. Ladies, be careful who you marry. I'm talking to the unmarried women now. I'm talking to the teenage girls. Marriage doesn't change anybody. All it does is exposes you. Jesus changes us. A man says, hey, marry me and I make all these promises. I'll change. I'll do this. I'll do this. Listen, if he's unfaithful before you get married, if Christ doesn't change him, he's going to be unfaithful after you get married. If he's addicted to something prior to getting married, if Christ doesn't do that work in him, he'll be addicted after he gets. If he's a liar there, if Christ doesn't change, he'll be this. You see, character doesn't change versus willpower. Character is changed by the life of Jesus Christ. And so as a man, our homes need godly character in our men. And who we are when there's no one else around. By the way, men, there's never a time when no one's not around because God is there. God is there. Joshua was a faithful man. Joshua was a man faithful when nobody else was there. When everybody said, there's giants in those lands, we'll never make it. And Joshua's heart, he had wonderful love and courage for the Lord. And so his character shined through. He was saved. He was set apart and sanctified unto the Lord, serving the Lord. Your home needs a man saved, set apart unto God, serving the Lord. By the way, character is to be passed down. Your children will be like you. Your children will learn their character from you. You know, character is not necessarily communicated and taught. It's more perception. They'll see in you. I do things today that my dad never taught me to do, but I find myself doing exactly what he did. I find myself saying the same things about the Lord that he said. I find myself thinking the same way about the Bible that he did. I find myself thinking the same way about the Lord. How did that happen? It was character that was instilled in us by a godly man. I don't know about you, but I want to be a godly man. If that's you, say amen. Amen. Number two, every home needs a man of commitment. Look at verse 15. But as for me and my house. Joshua was a man committed to his home. Committed to his home. He was committed to his wife. He was committed to his family. I tell you, every home needs a man that's committed to that home. Men, you need to be committed 100% to your home. What does commitment mean? That means invested in my life, yielded. I mean, I am anchored to that. This is my house. It has my full allegiance, my full devotion, my full care. Amazes me how a man can commit himself to his job and to his hobby, but not to his home. Now listen, gentlemen, you probably work 8 to 10 hours a day. You probably sleep 6 to 7 hours a day. Well, if you work 8 hours a day and you sleep 6, 8 plus 6 is what? 14. That's 10 hours in the day. 10 hours in the day. Do you know how you know if a man is committed to his house? He's in his house. He's in his house. There is a problem if a man is not wanting to be in his house. Men, you need to invest time with your wife. I should hear an amen from the ladies. And there ought to be an investment of time and a commitment to their children. You ought to be committed to your marriage, committed to your house, committed to your kids. Nothing ought to mean more to you than your home, than to your wife and to your children. And there's a reason a man doesn't come home. There's nothing wrong with having friends. There's nothing wrong with having buddies. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies and having some getaway. But that ought not to be the draw of every day. There needs to be this investment and there's this commitment. If a man doesn't want to be at home, it's probably because there's some kind of exposure at home. Somehow he's being exposed. Either he's exposed and intimidated by his godly wife and he feels like she's up here and he's down there, or he doesn't know how to relate to the kids, or he doesn't, something's not right there. And so what will happen is we were made to be committed. Men were made for commitment. We were made to charge. We were made to take a gun and a saber, you guys, and run into something and give your life and accomplish a goal and be committed. It's a drive in us. God gave it to us. He said, here is the garden to Adam. Have dominion over that garden. So if a man doesn't put that kind of commitment into his home, then he's putting it somewhere else. So what in the world could be more important to us than our homes? That's a powerful point. You know what our homes need? Our homes need for a man to say, I'm committed to this house. I'm committed to this marriage. I'm committed to these children. And I will yield my life. I will see to it that they are spiritually right. I will see to it that they are cared for. I will see to it they are prayed for. I will see to it that they are loved. But there will be nothing that will thwart the commitment that I have for my family. Let me tell you something. That will strengthen your home. We need committed men. And you better base that commitment on your time. On your time. Where are you committing your time? Well, I go out with my buddies all the time. Okay, fine. But man, if you work 8 hours and you sleep 6 hours, there's 10 hours. I think Joshua took that 10 hours and he invested it in his family, in his walk with the Lord. Every home needs a man of godly character. Every home needs a man of commitment. By the way, commitment is love and love is commitment. You cannot say you love something and not be committed to it. Jesus is a picture of, the marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. And the man represents Christ. Christ loved the church. He loved his wife. And he gave himself. He was committed to his wife. That commitment came from love. So if I love my wife and I love my family and I love my God and I love the Word of God, then I'm committed to those things. Nothing hurts a relationship or a home like selfishness. And men, we can be selfish. I know, because I probably lead the pack. Be quiet, please, Beverly, not out loud anyway. A small golf amen will be fine for that one. I think it's time that we charge full head of for the salvation of our homes the way we would charge full head of steam into something else. Because our homes are in big trouble, amen? Our nation's in big trouble. We need some committed men to do that. Number three, every home needs a man of conviction. Look, if you would, at verse number 15. He tells them in verse number 15 that they're to choose. You choose what you guys want to do. But down in verse number 15, he says, but as for me. See, Joshua had, he didn't have to make a choice. His choice had already been made for him. He already had some conviction. Somebody said a man who has no conviction is worth nothing. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong in life, men. And there are things worth having conviction over. What is conviction? Conviction is anchored to a belief. There are some things worth dying for. There are some things worth sacrificing for. And a man needs to have conviction about what is right and what is wrong. Joshua said, now you guys, you still have to make a choice. Speaking of their insecurity. Joshua said, but as for me, filled with security, I already know what I'm going to do. I have a conviction about this. The most insecuring thing you can do for your home and for your children and for your wife and for yourself is to be convictionless. How does a woman follow a non-conviction man? How do you lead children without any conviction? They don't know where to go. By the way, where do we get conviction from? The Word of God. The Word of God. And so here's what happens. Our men, we are getting annihilated in moments. In moments. And here's what happens. Because we don't have any conviction, we're so vulnerable in the moment. So if the moment feels like I take another woman, I take her because I'm in the moment. If the moment says I need something, then I take what I need in the moment. Now the world says, man, you got to live in the moment. What does that mean? That means you don't have any mooring, don't have any grounding, don't have any stability, don't have any truth. Truth could be relevant or not. Just live in the moment. Let me tell you something. If you live in the moment, you'll die in that moment. See, what the Bible doesn't teach us men to live in the moment. The Bible says, have conviction. There are some things that are right. There are some things that are wrong. There's the Word of God. Be anchored in your conviction. And then when the moment comes, I'm secure. How in the world does a home that doesn't have a man with conviction, how does it ever know stability? How does it ever know security? How does a wife ever feel completely at trust? How do children ever know the way and the direction about that? Joshua said, now you buddy, you go, you guys choose. But as for me, oh man, listen, we need to have some men with some conviction. By the way, our conviction is going to be tried and tested. I promise you that. It's going to be tried and tested. I thank God my dad had conviction. I would not be your preacher today if my dad did not have conviction. I don't even know that I would walk with God if my dad didn't have conviction. I know I wouldn't love God the way. I would not be pure if my dad didn't have conviction. There were times when the moments of my life as a young man were coming in on me hard. I mean, there were times when I was battling. There was times that it was absolutely after me. And I was coming, and I would be in those moments. If I had a dad who just said, well, Tom, live in the moment. Man. It's Father's Day, and I got to call my dad and tell him, thank you for being my dad, and thank you for having some conviction. Because it was in those moments that I came to my dad. And he had conviction on the Word of God. And he didn't care if I liked it or not. I don't know what happened to where we transferred in our culture where parents started caring about what the children think. My dad didn't care what I thought. Not one bit. My dad, he didn't care. Sometimes I go out to dinner and with some of you and food will come and your kids don't like what they're eating. And, oh, no, we don't make our kids eat what they don't like. Was I the only one that had to sit at the table for hours with peas shoved in my jaws and pull the old, I got to go to the bathroom trick, you know, just spitting those peas in the toilet, flushing as fast as I could. Was I the only one that did that? My dad didn't care what I thought. He didn't care if I didn't like that food. He didn't care if I didn't want to get up. He cared about this. Amen. And he had conviction. I want to be a man of conviction. I want that stability. You're home, sir. I don't care if you're 18 or if you're 88. Or in our church, we got them 94. You need to have some conviction. It needs to come from the book. A man of godly character. A man of commitment. A man of conviction. And then lastly, and I'll be done. Look at verse number 15. Joshua says, you're going to choose, but we're going to serve the Lord. A man with courage. Courage. You can have all the conviction you want to. And you can have all the commitment you want to. And you can be a man of character. But eventually, you're going to need courage. We need courageous men today. There will be times when you're going to have to stand alone. There are going to be tough situations. You cannot walk with God, trust God, believe God, and want to implement God's word and not have courage. What happened to our courage? What happened to our courage? You know, I thank God for our military men and women. They have wonderful courage. Amen. Our nation is, I believe, a courageous nation. We may not have great courage in our leaders, but our soldiers have great courage. There was a day when the church had courage. There, as I read the history books, it was the preachers in the church that stood for democracy and stood for righteousness. It was the church that carried forward the banner of freedom. It was the church that led the charge in the Word of God and in the laws of the land. And man, there was a day we had courage. But where'd it go? Where'd it go? I think that in some aspects our courage has been misunderstood. And we have substituted courage with a word called pride. For example, I could walk up, not Malcolm, he'll kill me, Brother Al, because I'm older than him. I could walk up to Brother Al and I could punch him right in the nose. Matter of fact, my dad was walking down Cincinnati when he was 16 years old, just walking down the street. A carload of guys got out of the car, punched him right in the mouth, knocked his two front teeth out, and drove off. So this illustration really can happen. I could walk up to Al, and I could punch him right in the face. What do you think Brother Al's going to do? I'll tell you exactly what he's going to do. He's going to turn around, and he's going to fight. And you're going to look at him and say, wow, that was stupid of the pastor, but that was great courage of Brother Al. No, it wasn't. It wasn't courage. It was pride. You punch a man in the face, his pride's going to get going. I kind of think as a church, we're operating in pride, but not courage. I'm trying to get this point across. Pride says, when our feathers get ruffled, we're going to stand up and fight. But I got news for you. Our feathers are being ruffled in our nation. Our freedoms are being taken away. Pretty soon, they're coming against those of us that believe in God's word. And in that moment, one thing about pride can be intimidated. You can meet pride with pride, and the stronger of the pride will take advantage. But you can't intimidate courage. My grandfather landed on the beach in Normandy and took his left arm right off, shot him in the back of the head, and shot him in the back. And he crawled to a medic by himself, left his arm on the beach. I read the stories after wave after wave after wave of man would hit that beach and they would gun them down. Next wave, gun them down. And the next wave, gun them down. Force with force. If you come with pride, there can be an intimidating pride factor. But when you come with courage, you'll give your life for it. It's undefeatable. It lays its life. It's giving. It's sacrificial. It is purposeful. It makes a difference. There used to be a time in our churches when our men had courage. Not courage to go out here and punch somebody in the face and fight. Courage to stand on the word of God. Courage to get out of bed in the morning and read and pray. Courage to be honest and have integrity. Courage to confront problems. To love your wife. To speak to your children. Courage to go by faith. Courage to be faithful. Courage to do those things. We used to be a courageous church. I think it's needed that we could be it once again. And your home needs a courageous man. What's a courageous man? A courageous man is one who's solid on the book and loves the Lord, takes his stand, conviction, committed, and of character. Our homes need that today. I wrote in my paper, believe we can win. Believe we can win. Now, men, look at your preacher. I'm not preaching to the ladies now. I'm preaching to you. Do you believe that you can win in Christ? Do we believe that? Or have we been beaten so bad that we don't even think we could win? So, well, it is what it is, Pastor. This is just how it's going to be. No. No, as long as we have the Lord, there's hope, there's future. We need to regain this mindset of victory. Paul said that the victory is in Christ. Paul said faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I don't know if you know it or not. I've read the whole book. We are on the winning team. So you can be a godly man. You can be a man of commitment and courage and conviction. You can love your wife. I can do all things through. I wish you could believe that. I wish you could believe that. Your home needs you to believe that. This church needs you to believe that. Our world needs a man to believe that. So we could take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Shall we pray?